Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, short show this week, friends. I had a guest lined up, and life happens, so that happens. So we will hopefully have a guest on next week's show. And then just to give you a heads up, there will be no Film Sociology the week of Thanksgiving. The kid is coming home, and we want some time. So I'm basically taking the week off. So just be aware of that, so you'll have to write more titles down when we get to the grab-a-pencil portion. But before we get to what I've watched, the Indianapolis LGBT Film Festival is happening November 14th through the 20th. It's happening at the Can-Can. You can go to IndieLGBTFilmFest.com for all the information there, so go check that out. So there you go, Indie LGBT Film Festival running November 11th through the 20th at the Can-Can. So there you go. Okay. I'm trying to catch up on some. Oh, that's the other thing. I thought I was going to be able to see some new movies this week, except I am involved with my lovely wife's production of William Shakespeare's Love's Labour's Lost, which is happening Friday and Saturday evening at Earlham College. And this is what happens when your wife runs the theater department. You kind of come off the bench, and I got a little cameo, but come to see me, but stay for the show. I think that's how it works. So anyway, hopefully we'll get into some new movies next week. So trying to catch up on a slew of discs that have been sent to me, so I appreciate everyone's patience, and mostly just stuff I either haven't seen in a long time or have never seen, or just only seen clips of it. So we start from MVD Entertainment. From 1994, the then futuristic prison action film No Escape. This was the one starring Ray Liotta as a guy who is sent to what is supposed to be an unescapable. It's almost like if you were trying to combine Escape from Alcatraz with any dystopian film that came out in the 90s. What I remember about this was, and it's a lead role for Liotta, of course, who we talked, obviously passed away earlier this year. But I was looking at here. So here's going back to Liotta's career, going to IMDb. By the mid '80s or late '80s, really, really got noticed for Something Wild, the underrated Dominic and Eugene. Played Shoeless Joe Jackson, of course, in Field of Dreams, and in Goodfellas. So that's a great buildup. And pardon my sniffing. The voice isn't 100%, but the body's better. After Goodfellas, and really nothing until, for me, Copland. That's 1997. But he had a number of starring vehicles, and none of them quite didn't have the same impact as Goodfellas. And obviously, some are better than others. Here's what he did after the wave of Goodfellas. Article 99 with Kiefer Sutherland. Unlawful Entry with Kurt Russell and Madeline Stowe. That might be a beer and pizza movie to watch. You might need a few of those. No Escape, which we're going to talk about a little bit. Carina, which he needed to do. He had to do something other than be a tough guy. That's the one with Whoopi Goldberg. Operation Dumbo Drop. He's working with Disney. Unforgettable, which it is. And Turbulence, which is a beer and pizza movie in a bad way. So In the 90s, when I was living in the Chicago suburbs, my buddy Laura Jansen and I would indulge in certain libations and liquids and watch some questionable cinema. And Unforgettable, which was a John Dahl kind of neo-noir with Linda Fiorentino, not nearly as good as Dahl's other films and should have been a lot more. Turbulence is just ridiculous. With Lauren Holly and Ray Liotta, but he's doing a scenery chewing mode, playing a killer on a plane. Anyway, with No Escape, he gets to be the anti-hero. He is a guy who's escaped from several prisons. And it, by the way, at the beginning of the film, it reads 2022, which I'm like, hey, it's all in the timing there, where the international prison system is run by private corporations, prison as big business. And so Liotta has been sent there because this is the place where he's not going to escape. And man, this film, and it's directed by Martin Campbell, and this is the film Campbell did before doing GoldenEye. So nice setup there. But it's loaded with some heavy hitters. Lance Henriksen, Stuart Wilson, who plays the outside leader. There's two tribes on this particular island. Michael Lerner plays the warden. This is one of the films he did after his Academy Award nomination for Barton Fink. Kevin Dillon, who plays kind of I think he's a little old, and it's just he's trying to go against type as a kind of a hanger-on fan of Liotta's character. Ernie Hudson is in this as a head of security. We find out that Liotta was a Special Forces Marine and escaped from two prisons, and there was an altercation. There's an altercation with the Michael Lerner character, and he's sent to this island. And so it's, as I said, it's part prison drama, part dystopian. Pretty decent action. Everybody in it is fine. I think it was, it barely made its money back, but it's a good rental, I guess. So that's what, and that's probably why I can't remember what it opened up against when it came out in 1994, but anyway, it's a good watch. So it's out on video from MVD, and everybody else would go on to other things there. Now, from Kino Lorber, there is The Dark Side of Noir, Volume 9, if I remember correctly. And these are four films, all from Universal, from the 40s. And they're not the traditional noir. Don't expect Sunset Boulevard or especially Double Indemnity. But they are kind of crime dramas of different shades. And still fun to watch. One of these is a drama from called Lady on a Train, not the other confusing titles. This is from 1945. Stars Deanna Durbin and David Bruce, who have some nice chemistry together. She is a debutante heading to New York, and while she's the title of the film, and the train is at a stop, she looks across, and there is a murder happening and a window. So she is able to witness that, and the police won't help her, but a mystery writer winds up helping her. And of course, the mystery writer is engaged, so there's this a screwball comedy subplot that gets involved. It's more than just a murder mystery. Durbin was also a singer, so there's a few songs in here which kind of pad up the 90-minute running time in this film. It could have been a lot shorter. But Durbin it's hot scrolling here at Film Sociology. Durbin and Bruce have some nice chemistry together, and so that screwball comedy element of it adds some levity to the story. Ralph Bellamy shows up in this as a nephew of a wealthy to-do, and unfortunately, there's a plot point that involves Ralph Bellamy, and you kind of see it coming a mile away because it's Ralph Bellamy. The film was nominated for Best Sound, so take that for as a little bit of credit there. But it's a fun little romp. Could have been shorter, but the two leads help. From 1946 is a film called Tangier, starring Maria Montez, who is a cafe dancer, who teams up with Robert Page, who plays a war correspondent, and they team up to take down a Nazi collaborator in their little town of Tangiers. He's played by Preston Foster. And this is one, you could say, if you want to combine Casablanca with Notorious, And this is a film that also has some music, and it's shorter, which helps move things along. There's a stolen jewel. There is a murder. The couple are reluctant to work together, but then they have to work together. There's the kid from who played Sabu in Arabian Nights, who has to do some music. That could also have been trimmed. Then you probably have a 65-minute film. And there is a Maltese Falcon-esque climax, as well as an airport runway final scene. Sound familiar? So that part of it, it just kind of tickles you. It tickles me because, you're just blatantly going to do that. So it didn't, but in this case, it didn't bother me. So that's Tangier from 1946. And then finally, from 1949, from Universal, is called Take One False Step, which stars William Powell and Shelley Winters, not Myrna Loy. In this, Powell is a college professor visiting a town as far as getting a college started, and he meets old flame Shelley Winters. And this is also one of those, Shelley Winters' character disappears at the beginning of the film after they almost have a reunion, not almost a romantic reunion, but not really. And she winds up missing, and he becomes the main suspect. So, and then I have a mutual friend played by Marsha Hunt who is helping Powell on the search. This is the closest to noir of the three films mentioned. William Powell is trying to figure out if Shelley Winter's character is dead, what her husband was up to. He has to clear his name. And it's interesting to see William Powell solve a crime that doesn't involve a dog and Myrna Loy and martinis. So, but it works out well, and good acting across the board. So, yeah, I enjoy these kind of looks at the little films of the 1940s, and I'm sure they were bigger than I'm already giving them credit for. But that's from Dark Side of Noir, Volume 9 on Kino Lorber. Also got to revisit Eve's Bayou, which is now on Criterion. By the way, in the month of November, at a certain bookstore chain, they're half off. Just saying. And hopefully more people will check out Eve's Bayou, the film Cassie Lemons. About the point of view, for the most part, from the middle child of their living in a small Louisiana town with their very popular house call traveling dad, played by Samuel L. Jackson. And this is before he gets into major Samuel L. Jackson mode, and their mother, played by Lynn Whitfield, who is still stunning. Diane Carroll is also in this. A lot of familiar faces. Vonnie Curtis Hall. Alan Toussaint has a cameo. So does Branford Marcellus. And it's a fine piece of Southern Gothic from the African-American point of view. And this is my favorite Cassie Lemons film. This might have been my favorite film of 1997. I believe Roger Ebert was the same way on this one. But yeah, check out Eve's Bayou, now out on Criterion. Also out from Kino Lorber from 1951, I had never seen this, and I know I need to reread its chapter in Danny Perry's cult movies book, now out on Blu-ray, Bedtime for Bonzo. Yes, probably Ronald Reagan's most popular, or at least most well-known film, although you should see him in his final film, The Killers, from 1964. He plays a college professor, a psych prof, who winds up taking Bonzo, a monkey, from a university and trying to raise him as a child at home as an experiment. His fiance. So Reagan's character is engaged to the dean's daughter, and dean's not crazy about that. And doesn't tell the dean that he's working on this experiment. He brings in a housekeeper, a nanny played by Diana Lynn. She thought all professors were older guys with Van Dyke beards. He thought that she would be a lot older. She's 23. And they wind up doing this kind of experimental family with Mama and Papa. And they call each other Mama and Papa. That's really unsettling. Stop doing that. Stop calling your wife Mother, Mommy, Mama. Don't do that. And, of course, it's hilarity ensues because monkeys are mischievous and monkeys are monkeys. And we get to see Ronald Reagan get hit in the face with you know, with oatmeal and having to chase this guy, this monkey around his house in campus. And there's a jewel thief. Oh, yeah, the Ronald Reagan's character's dad is a known jailbird. And there's a jewelry robbery that I should say a jewelry theft that happens near campus. I don't know how many jewelry stores are on college campuses. I know one at Ball State, but that aspect comes into it. And then there's the screwball comedy of the fiance, and he's actually getting more chemistry off the nanny, the Diana Lynn character. But yeah, when Reagan got into politics, I think the big question would be the bedtime for Bonzo actor. Yeah, so that's out on Blu-ray if you want to check that out. It's an oddity. But, yeah, Bedtime for Bonzo from 1951. And finally, I got a new title that's from Cohen Media, and it's one of the better films I got to see this year, called The Good Boss. It stars Javier Bardem as the owner of an industrial-scale fat company. The company is up for an excellence award, which he's obsessed with getting awards for excellence, and how in the span of 1 week, his life and his company are on the brink of falling apart, and all that he has to go through to keep things going. There is a fired employee who's protesting across the street. There is his dearest friend from high school, or from actually not even high school, when they were 10 years old, having marital problems. Then there's Bardem's character and an intern, and there's a really nice twist with the intern connection. So watching this as the film starts to unravel throughout, well, the story, I should say, we get a routine of Bardem entering the factory. As soon as he hits the factory floor, there's problems immediately and everything that he needs to do to keep things afloat. Nice restrained performance from Bardem. You're also kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, or you're waiting for him to lose it. And he does, and it's a doozy. It's short and to the point, but it's a doozy. It's a restrained performance. It is not a physically comedic performance. Everything is all internal. Everything is on Bardem's face, and it's fun to watch him try to weasel out, work out, and it has a really nice kind of dark twist at the end. So, this came out in 2022 in Spain. It's called The Good Boss. It's on Cohen Media. But yeah, definitely check it out, especially if you're a Javier Bardem fan. This works out really well. And please don't remake us in Hollywood. It's fine as is. Yeah, check out The Good Boss, now out on Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. We're going to go around the horn briefly, and then we'll grab a pencil and find out what you've been watching this week. Over at IU Cinema, Friday night, 7 o'clock from 2019, the film Atlantis. Saturday at 4 o'clock, Saturday, November 12th at 4 o'clock, Micah, the Girl from Another Galaxy. Saturday, November 12th at 7 p.m., Mabarossi. Tuesday, November 15th at 7 p.m., Black Is, Black Ain't. Thursday, November 17th is Bebe. Thursday, November 18th, at 7 o'clock, The Long Farewell and Dolce Provoti. And Wednesday, November 30th, mark your calendars, just announced sneak preview of the 2022 film Women Talking, Wednesday, November 30th at 7 p.m. At the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin this weekend in honor of Veterans Day, Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m., The Hunt for Red October, with everyone's favorite Russian submarine commander, Sean Connery. Tuesday, November 15th at 7 p.m., The Best We've Got, The Karlach Scene Story. Friday and Saturday, November 18th and 19th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Batman Returns. Hello, Catwoman. November 25th and 26th and 27th. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 2 and 7:30 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. 2 and 5:30 p.m. on Sunday, Elf. And then finally, to Thursday, December 1st at 7:30 p.m., why not, Die Hard. All of that is at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching this week. We start on Twitter with Ed, who writes, "Watcher, unexpectedly excellent." Your Canadian girlfriend writes, "Cronenberg's Crimes of the Future and the Sonny Chiba box set from Shout Factory." Now, as a reminder, this is not the, not to be confused with the Sonny Chiba Street Fighter collection. This is the Sonny Chiba collection that's out on Shout Factory. So, also a must-have. All right, let's see. Scott writes Causeway, and I believe that's it on Twitter. So that is happening there. Hello to the Golden Globes Theater, always. Just a friendly reminder to the Grab a Pencil people portion of the show. Please wait until I actually post asking you what you've watched. It's less scrolling for me. I appreciate it. We start with Bill, who writes, "The Philadelphia Story, The Lion in Winter, and The Lighthouse. Strangely enough, that progression made weird sense." I love my readers and my listeners. That's very strong. Allison writes, "Weird, the Al Yankovic story." I got a feeling we're going to hear a lot of weird in the next couple of weeks. Doug writes, "An American in Paris. I watch it at least once a year." Followed by Mrs. Brown, You Have a Lovely Daughter. Yes, the 1968 film starring Herman's Hermits, who I got to see perform on the Ed Sullivan Rock Collection from Time Life Home Video. Thank you there. Hopefully next week there's another Time Life Video Collection that I'll be discussing that came out about the Def Comedy Jam, so we'll get to that. Nick Rogers writes, "Causeway, Weird, Front Page Woman, Vengeance, The Independent, Enola Holmes 2, Blind Fury, Blowout, Armageddon Time, Ticket to Paradise, Avatar, Black Panther, and Wakanda Forever, Yaksha, Ruthless Operations, Bardo, False Chronicle of a Handful of Truths, and The Stranger." Jamie writes, "Ella Enchanted, and lots of the Sarah Jane Adventures." Sean writes, "Skyfall and Weird." Lee writes, "Tar, Decision to Leave, and Banshees of Inisherin." Catherine writes, "The Barbarian, so good." Guy says, "Ain't got the gif of Ain't Nobody Got Time for That." Yeah, we do, Guy. It's film sociology. Get over it. Gretchen writes, "Louis Armstrong's Black and Blues and a documentary about Selena Gomez because my daughter talked us into it." Excuse me. Yeah, I Gretchen, I also, Mrs. Sosie and I also got to watch the Louis Armstrong Black and Blues documentary. I forgot to mention that. Highly recommended. Audio that you never thought you'd hear from Louis Armstrong, and I think that's part of the point. There was more to Louis Armstrong than the image we see of him on stage and on screen and on television performing, not tomming, a great musician. And it was kind of a can't win. If he's doing his business, then one part of the counterculture is gets on him about it. And then, of course, if he speaks his mind, another faction of society gets him on it. So, no, it's a really, really fine look, digging deep into the life of Louis Armstrong. Check that out. Dustin writes, "Buster Keaton, A Hard Act to Follow, a TV miniseries from 1987, and the TV movie version of A Streetcar Named Desire from 1995. Hold on here, folks. Pause, please. Yes, that is the one with Jessica Lange as Blanche, Alec Baldwin as Stanley, Diane Lane as Stella, and John Goodman as Mitch. All right, thank you, Dustin. Good call there. Eric writes, "First View, Jacques Tourneur's Most Excellent Curse of the Demon, The Rewatch, Norman Jewison and John Patrick Shanley's Glorious Moonstruck." And then there's a conversation between Eric and Terry. That's why we have the page, among other things. Robert writes, "I watched The Descent last week. It gave me some good jump scares, but then the story went bizarre." Oh, nothing wrong with that. Brian Hartz writes, "I introduced Monica to Citizen Kane on election night because I preferred to watch a fictional villainous rich SOB in politics over the real ones." I understand that. As soon as I got home, Brian, our tradition at the Sosie household, even though I was the only one there, I wound up clerking and my wife was in rehearsal. I had did not have to go to rehearsal that night. Thank you, dear. But Alexander Payne's Election is what we watch. And so, yes, Em, I was thinking of you while watching Tracy Flick have a cupcake. She also introduced me to Runaway Bride, which is fine, but Gary Marshall is no Nora Ephron, and Joan Cusack is a national treasure. Also, Monica's comment upon seeing the camera panning over Kane's warehouse of treasures. I wouldn't be surprised if the Ark of the Covenant were in there somewhere. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Monica. Chris writes Angel Face. Jessica writes Cabinet of Curiosities. Michael writes Ninotchka. Knights of the Round Table, Rock Island Trail, and Sometimes a Great Notion. Judy writes Elvis, but also finished Dairy Girls. David writes All Quiet on the Western Front and No Country for Old Men. And by the way, there's a really good article in the AV Club about No Country for Old Men and its impact when it comes to adaptations for the screen. So if you're a fan of that film, give it a read, and always a good excuse to watch the Coen Brothers. Abby writes, weird and death proof. Total opposites. Thank you, Abby. Miss you. Rachel writes, Call the Conqueror. There were a couple of scenes that I wasn't thrilled about, but it was fun overall, and the actors did a great job. I also learned that while hiding underneath an animal is an effective way to sneak into a city, doing so may ruin any chance of sneaking up on someone if there is an accident. Thank you, Rachel. Howell writes, Remember Me, the Mahalia Jackson biopic. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Miss Sharon Jones and weird. Sarah writes Enola Holmes 1 and 2, as well as the cinematic masterpiece, Prince of Egypt. Joe writes, Joe Shearer, Resurrection, Deadstream, Run Sweetheart Run, Causeway, weird. All Quiet on the Western Front, that's the most recent one, I'm guessing. Wendell and Wilde, Wakanda Forever, Crimes of the Future, and The Good Nurse. Sam Watermeyer chimes in, I watched Resurrection and The Good Nurse this week as well. By the way, little inside baseball, I got a screener in the mail yesterday with my address, but Sam Watermeyer's name is on it. So that's what happens when we are intertwined together as members of the Indiana Film Journalists Association. So Sam, I'm still waiting for my part of the rent, but also the idea of IFJA members living together like, you know, real world style is very frightening. Daniel writes Jewel of the Nile, all about Steve and the aviator. Nancy writes Armageddon Time. Patty writes Enola Holmes 2, While You Were Sleeping, The Wax Museum, and House on Haunted Hill. Okay, Lou writes Don't Worry, Darling, and then Weird. That's not his critique of Don't Worry, Darling. That's the Weird Al story. I believe so. And yeah, Joshua chimes in for a second. I thought your review of Don't Worry, Darling, yes, which would be apt. Craig writes, the 1950s version of Dunkirk, The Bells of St. Trinians, Scars of Dracula, and Two-Way Stretch. John writes, I got on a noir kick, a Broderick Crawford triple feature of The Mob, Scandal Street, and Down Three Dark Streets. Wow. Also, the 1931 version of The Front Page. Way to go, John. Melissa writes Wakanda Forever, Teaching Mrs. Tingle, and Mean Girls. Bonnie writes Enola Holmes 2, Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, and Midsummer. I know, Bonnie, you watch Midsummer because of the elections, and I have a copy of Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House. I need to actually finish it, or actually start it. It's at the top of the pile of, yes, I have a pile of movies that I have purchased, and there's a pile of movies that have been sent to me. Sent to me gets priority. Kurt writes, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris for my Bell Trace crew this week. Jay writes, in anticipation of the sequel coming out, we rewatched Willow. Then on a recommendation from our son, which we will question more moving forward, which we watched District 9. It is interesting. Didn't care for some of the gross and gore. Yeah, Jay, but that's a really good film. I really enjoyed District 9. And remember, you know, some of my best friends are aliens. Watching that with Abdul, that's a memorable evening of movies. Pardon my sniffing. Janet writes, Free Guy, Waking That Divine, It Could Happen to You, Elvis, Serpico, and Working Girl. Eric writes, Deadwood. Scott writes, Causeway, wonderfully acted and filmed. John writes, All Quiet on the Western Front. Tony writes, Goodfellas, Brazil, and The Girl with the Pearl Earring. I know, Tony, that's a triple feature. You watch those in a row. Nancy writes, confess Fletch. I liked it. Slattery is a favorite of mine, and John Hamm did well making the character his own and not mimicking Chevy. Thank God. I know, I need to watch that one as well. Don writes, traveling band, Creedence Clearwater Revival at Royal Albert Hall. It's on Netflix. Andrew writes, Moneyball and Top Gun Maverick. Britt writes, I finally watched Doctor Strange. Tons of fun. Gary writes, Pray for the Devil, ABCs of Death 2, Humanoids from the Deep, Mean Streets, Punk the Capital, Building a Sound Movement, Black Panther, Black Men Rock, Black Wax, Black Beauty, The Mystery Science Theater Treatment of Hamlet. This was for German television with Maximilian Schaal. Good call there. The Banshee of Inishman and Jack the Ripper. JJ writes, You Only Live Twice, The Good Nurse, Weird, The Banshees of Inisherin, Vegas Vacation, and Don't Worry, Darling. Corey writes, Don't Worry, Darling, and Scooby-Doo. Terry writes, Oh boy, The Lair of the White Worm. Yeah, I own that one too. The Hunger and Fallen Angel. Yeah, I own The Hunger as well. Linda writes, Blackbird with Sam Neill and Susan Sarandon and Kate Winslet. It was amazing. Jeff writes, The Automat documentary and Some Like It Hot. Alan writes, Jaws 2. Kendall writes, Lady Sings the Blues. Good call there. Molly writes, hold on a second, friends. Molly wrote, Romeo and Juliet, parentheses, 2013, with Haley Steinfeld and Paul Giamatti. I know what she meant. Haley Steinfeld plays Juliet in this film. Paul Giamatti plays Friar Lawrence. But I want to see this version of Romeo and Juliet. Thank you, Molly. Molly also watched See How They Run and The Breaker Uppers. Anne writes, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris in English with Dutch subtitles. I know where you moved to, Anne. That's going to happen a lot. So hope you're doing well, love. Tom writes the 2022 version of All Quiet on the Western Front, When Worlds Collide, and The Bridges at Toko Ri. Interesting week. Cassandra writes Captain Marvel. Shannon writes, I see I'm going to have to suffer through Seasons of the Sun by Terry Jacks to get through John Wick 4 in March. I don't know, I guess, Shannon. Don't set yourself up for stress. It's not March yet. Kathy writes, The Banshee of Inisherin was phenomenal, very dark. Robert Muggy writes, The Breaking Point, humoresque, Les Millions, and Cure. Kurt writes, Joe Dancer 2. Simone writes, The Northman, terrible ending. Stephanie writes, Causeway. David writes, Blade Runner Final Cut and Memoirs of a Geisha for Film Lit. Lisa writes, Call Me By Your Name and Juanita. And finally, Khalif writes, I very, very highly recommend Netflix's A Jazz Man's Blues and All Quiet on the Western Front is a very timely reminder of perception versus reality and the real world consequences. Also saw The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Thank you, Khalif. And then there you go, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. So hopefully you got to watch some good films that are new or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there, and we're starting to get into grown-up movie season, friends. So hopefully the voice will be better next week. Hopefully I'll have a guest next week. And don't forget, Film Sociology is taking Thanksgiving week off. So just bring extra paper by your wherever you keep your notebook and jot down your titles, and we'll have an extra long leftover edition of Film Sociology after Thanksgiving. So until next time, take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!